بسم الله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're taking a look at Madhab al-Sahaba, Madhab al-Sahabi. This is the ninth evidence, and this is going to be a pretty short one. It's not too long, inshallah ta'ala, pretty straightforward. And that translates to a companion's school of thought. So obviously the Prophet ﷺ had companions, and amongst them, we're not talking about ijma' when they all agree upon something. Rather, we're talking about when they have a particular opinion, and you find that there's some different opinions, then what do we do? How do we deal with the opinion of a particular or a particular madhab of a certain sahabi? How much weight does it have? What type of a hujjiyah does it have in Islam? So, a madhab al-sahaba, let's define our terms. The definition of a sahabi is somebody who met the Prophet ﷺ believing in Islam and spent a significant portion of time learning from the Prophet ﷺ. So this is a sahabi, not just someone who met the Prophet ﷺ, but was a believer and actually spent time with the Prophet ﷺ. And obviously there are different rankings amongst the sahaba, those who spent so much time versus those who are very much peripheral figures that you only, you know, hear about in maybe one or two ahadith. But still, all of them are still considered sahaba. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Now as for madhab al-sahabi, it refers to the legal opinion of a sahabi or the legal opinions of a sahabi that have been authentically transmitted to us. So obviously it has to be authentic, it has to be well transmitted to us, and it's their legal opinion. So the question is, what is the authority of one of these opinions? And there's two opinions about this, about how much weight they have. Opinion number one is, the Shafi'is, the Ash'aris, the Mu'tazila, and the Shia don't give the opinion of a sahabi legal weight at all. They say, madhab al-sahabi, not too heavy. Why? Why is that the case? Because they're just fallible human beings that can make mistakes. Furthermore, some of the tabi'een would object to the opinions of the sahaba with better evidence. And sometimes those sahaba would be convinced by the evidence of the tabi'een. If a sahabi's opinion was binding, legally binding, then the tabi'een should never have offered an alternative perspective. I hope that's pretty clear. That, look, it's just a human being. At the end of the day, he can make mistakes, and other people can challenge it, and they can change their mind. So this is a human being, no big deal. However, opinion number two is that that the Hanafis, the Malikis, and the Hanbalis, this seems to be the majority opinion, they say that the Sahabi's opinion is binding as legal evidence. In other words, if there is no other clear text, whether it be from the Qur'an or Sunnah or Ijma' or Qiyas, even if there's no Qiyas from the Qur'an and Sunnah, then the statement of the Sahabi has legal weight, especially if there's no objection to it. If it's just his opinion, there's no real reason to object against it, then yes, it does have weight. Why is that the case? Why is it so weighty? Because they lived with the Prophet ﷺ, they understood the language of the Prophet ﷺ, the culture, the context of revelation, they got to witness Islamic law as implemented by the Prophet ﷺ, and furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attests to their character in several ayat of the Qur'an. So let's take a look at some of these ayat. When we take a look at the Qur'an commenting on the Sahaba, there's many more by the way, these are just a few. Allah ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عَوْدُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. And the first forerunners in faith among the muhajirin and the ansar, very specific. We're not just talking about people who, you know, work really hard for their iman at any period of time. This is specifically talking about muhajirin and ansar. And those who follow them with good conduct, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. And He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. That is the great attainment. Allah also says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ. Allah has already forgiven the Prophet and the Muhajirin and the Ansar who followed him in the hour of difficulty. Allah Ta'ala also says, Muhammad Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashadda'u 'ala al-kuffari ruhama'u bainahum tarahum ruk'an sujadan yabtaghuna fadlan min Allah wa ridwana simahum fi wujuhihim min athari as-sujud. And to the end of the ayah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are forceful against the disbelievers and merciful amongst each other. You see them bowing and prostrating, seeking the bounty from Allah and His pleasure. Their marks on their faces, their mark is on their faces from the traces of prostration, and Allah gives them their description. So there's so many ayat praising them and saying, listen, clearly they have a high status, they're not just regular people, and therefore you should give more weight. That's the conclusion here. And then another final ayah here, Allah Ta'ala says what? لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Not equal among among you are those who spent before the conquest of Mecca and fought, and those who did so after it. Those are greater in degree than they who spent afterwards and fought. So even amongst the Sahaba, when it comes to those who were believers and striving and fighting and spending before Fatah Mecca, which was obviously a huge conquest, and gave the Muslims the upper hand, so at that point it's easier to become Muslim. Prior to that, it was considered, let's say, you guys are weird, you guys are crazy, you guys are some cult that's, the whole society is against you. You can imagine how much worse it was even in Mecca, subhanAllah. So clearly there's darajat, there's degrees amongst the Sahaba, and amongst them you're going to take their opinions, especially those who were very early on with the Prophet, you're going to take them very heavily. So in conclusion, there's another additional point, which is what? Furthermore, if the statement that the Sahabi makes has to do with the unseen, al-ghayb, he's making a comment about the unseen world, then it is considered even stronger evidence, because it is inconceivable that a companion would make something up about the unseen. Therefore, it must have been something he heard from the Prophet. So it doesn't get the same degree as a hadith, because he didn't say, Sami'tu Rasulullah, I heard the Prophet, or, he doesn't say like, he doesn't say like, I heard the Prophet say this, or I'm relating from the Prophet. It's not the same degree as a hadith, but still, you do take it with a large degree of weight, because if, a certain Sahabi, whether any of the Sahaba, if they say, on Judgment Day, such and such will happen, how else would he possibly know? And why would they make that up? May Allah Ta'ala protect us from thinking that they would make things up, and so on and so forth, if Allah Ta'ala has given them such incredible descriptions throughout the Qur'an. Clearly, they're not people to just make things up and, etc. And in conclusion, like I said, today is going to be a quick one. The conclusion is what? A little bit of a middle position between the two positions, but basically the strongest position seems to be that the opinion of a companion is considered very strong evidence because of their status, but is not absolute like the Quran and Sunnah. Seems pretty straightforward. That clearly you're going to give it heavy weight because it is a Sahabi and he has a unique position. However, you're not going to say it's the same thing as qala Allah wa qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope that makes sense. Pretty straightforward, I think, inshallah ta'ala. And with that, inshallah, we close. And we will see you after the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.